you ready for work this morning?
Amen.
Turn your Bibles with me to Habakkuk. We're going to do a very, very quick, succinct review this morning. Habakkuk chapter 2. Your Bible should be about falling open to there by now. In Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 14, God has given Habakkuk a vision for the end times. He said, I want you to write this vision down. Whoever reaches to run with it. And so he says, the earth shall be filled. Verse 14, the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. God says, whoever reads this vision should be running toward it. And it's for the end times. And it's not going to lie. We see here our assignment as an end time church. We're to be pressing forward, running all in toward the outpouring of God's end time glory. He's coming back for a glorious bride. Amen?
Amen.
And the bride is not the whole church. It's a portion of the church that says that has made herself ready. That is cooperating with the Spirit of God to be prepared for these end times. To carry what God says we're to carry. In fact, they will be a supernatural body of Christ. Amen? And so we see in verse 4, the people of the glory. It says, now he whose soul is lifted up is not upright in him. In other words, prideful people can't be part of the bride. When they think they know more than God, their soul's lifted up. They think the word doesn't apply to them because they're special. They ain't got to have an understanding or, you know, a special relationship. They're not going to be part of the bride. But it says the just shall live by his faith. God said there's going to be a segment of the end time church that I'm going to use to carry my glory. And it's going to be the just. Now the word just there, get this program within your thinking. The word just there is the same word for righteous. It can say the righteous shall live by faith. And it's the people that have learned to use the principles of the kingdom that are activated by faith to live, to have a God kind of life. Nothing missing, nothing broken. Talking about healed, prosperous, joy-filled, living in victory. They understand we win. God's going to raise up an end time, a bright segment of the church that live by faith. And what that means is not that they're just breathing by faith. Not just that they're going to heaven by faith. But they're tapping into the life of God with faith. Did you follow that?
Amen. Yeah.
And so, whenever you see in the New Testament this phrase, the just shall live by faith, which is in three times in the New Testament. We're going to look at those. We started last Sunday. It's referring back to this glory coming to the earth. The New Testament authors, the first church, knew the Old Testament. In fact, it was all they had. For the most part, was the Old Testament. And they looked back at the Torah and they knew it. So when Paul wrote about the just shall live by faith, the writer of Hebrews wrote the just shall live by faith, which was probably Paul. He knew that tied back to the glory coming on the church. Amen. So we went here last week. Let's go there again just to review and then add to it. Go to Romans chapter 1. Doesn't hurt to recover this because it's what we run with. Any runners in here? Come in the spirit, not the natural. Yes. I'm all in for the glory. I'm taking every bit of focus, energy, resources I can muster to go after the glory in the end times. Amen. Why? Because the Bible said run toward that.
Yes.
And I said this last week, I'll say it again. If a Christian is not running toward the glory, they're missing God. We're in the end times. Got quiet on that.
Yeah.
I didn't mean to convict anybody.
We're processing.
If a Christian in the end times, which we're in the end times, is not running toward the glory that God said at the end, this is what you should run toward, they're missing God. I might also say if they're not living by faith, they're missing God. I didn't write the book. I'm just telling you what it says. And I'm a logical type person. I apply what I read. In other words, if it says it, it has to hang together. It's got to be logic. It's got to make sense. And here he said, end times, run with the glory. That must be the assignment for everybody. Unless they haven't read Habakkuk, then they're disobedient reading about not reading their Bible. Amen. And I find it interesting God put this in one of the most obscure books of Scripture. I mean, a minor prophet buried in here, he puts the end time vision. Because it's only for people who really seek Him. The glory is not for part-time Christianity. It's for those that are focused, serious about it. Amen. Now, Romans chapter 1, are you there?
Yep.
Paul writes in verse 16, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Remember, we found out last week that means the rewards of the good news. Right? Yeah, I'm not ashamed of it. He says, for it is the gospel, the dunamis dynamite power of God unto salvation. Salvation there is soteria, and it means more than just getting to heaven. It's talking about all the blessings of the kingdom. Amen. In the gospel is the power of God unto fullness of life. This is a book of life. Amen. Hebrews 4:12. All scriptures inspired, you know, given of God. How's it written? Blanked out of my verse. The Word of God is alive and powerful. There we go. Wrong verse. I was getting 2 Timothy 3:18. The Word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword. I was going to get the sword in there somewhere. It's alive and it's powerful. This Word is full of power. And if we can tap into this Word in the appropriate fashion, we release the power. And it tells us over and over again, the power is accessed by faith. The just shall live by faith. And faith is our ability. It's a tool God gave us. An internal resource we can build. Then we speak words of faith. It releases what's in the camp. It releases the power of the book to fulfill the promises of the book. Faith releases the power or promises of the scriptures. Are you following this at all?
Mm-hmm.
And the just shall live by accessing this. And Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. This book, the rewards of the good news. I'm not ashamed of it because therein is the power of God containing all the promises of Scripture for you to have salvation, fullness of life.
Glory.
Amen. The power of God unto salvation. He says in verse 17, for therein the gospel. See, you can put in there gospel, also word. You know what gospel really is? It's a revelation of the Word. It's a revelation what's in this book. For therein is the righteousness of God. There's our word righteousness. Now we've talked about it repeatedly. What is righteousness? It's your new nature once you're born again. Once you tap into salvation, give your life to Jesus, He changed your nature from that of a sinner to a saint. And He says, in this book is the key. Are the keys to tap into supernaturally imparted righteousness. See, we've read these verses, but we're not really comprehending what's really in these two verses. In the gospel is the promise of righteousness by faith. The supply of being born again. And through that righteousness, now you have access, you have rights to all the inheritance of the Word. And you have Christ to all of salvation or soteria, the Word provides. But therein is the righteousness of God revealed. From faith to faith, not revealed. Yeah, from faith to faith. As is written, the just shall live by faith. I left off the end of verse 16. That's what confused me. It says, it's supplied to everyone that believeth. See the word believeth there in verse 16? This word for faith. Pistis. To everyone that uses faith. To the Jew first and also to the Greek. It's to everybody that will believe. Now understand, the promise is to the Jew and to the Greek, Jew and Gentile. But it's not activated until they get saved. And once they're saved, they're not no longer just Jew and Greek. Now they're Christian. Christian trumps the other two. I mean, it's a promise to everybody. But as a Christian, you have access to it. And he says in verse 17 again, now the just shall live by his faith. He's tying this entire Bible, the gospel, the entire world we get revelation to our assignment to live by faith, which according to the transitive property of scriptural interpretation, you may remember the transitive property of algebra.
Nope.
No.
Yeah, right. If A equals B and B equals C, then A equals C. So if the gospel has the power to live by faith, according to this property that I made up, that I believe is applicable,
that's
then the gospel has the ability for us to manifest the gospel. Say it again.
Yes, please.
The gospel, if it has the ability for us to live by faith, then according to Habakkuk chapter 2, it has the ability for us to manifest the glory of God.
Amen.
Yes.
And it's interesting, Paul interchanges these aspects all through his writings. Faith, the word, righteousness, and the glory. He ties these all together.
Yes.
They're all interconnected. You can't get the glory without living by faith. You can't live by faith unless you're made righteous. You can't be made righteous without the word. They all interconnect. And God said the end time church is going to run by the revelation of pulling these all together and living in it. Let me say it this way. I hope I'm not losing. It's by living in a system. A system that contains righteousness, faith, the glory, and the gospel. And the system is called the kingdom of heaven.
Amen.
That we live in now. And God's going to bring together in end times a group of people that live out of the kingdom. They're tapping into all four of those. That he's going to use to harvest the earth by the glory. Is this getting too far-fetched for you?
No.
Is this too theoretically out there? Well, that sounds wonderful. Who could ever do it? We're going to do it.
Amen. We are.
I'm going to do it.
Amen.
We're doing it.
We're all doing it.
You're our
and it says, huh?
You're our trailer here.
I got you. Look at this. Look at verse 17. From faith to faith. You don't just step into this. It's a development process. It's a day by day running and building yourself up. This is kind of another rabbit trail. There's a video set I love to watch. In fact, I've watched enough, it just pops up. Everything pops up on my screen with this on it. And it's a professional weightlifter called Anatoly. Anybody ever seen any Anatoly videos? You can do a search. He's not real big. Not some massive weightlifter. He is really cut. But he puts on really loose fitting clothes, this blue outfit, a hat on, and he carries a mop like he's cleaning the gym. I love these things.
I think I've seen that.
He actually is cleaning the gym. Here's all these massive weightlifters. And he's going things like, those weights are fake. Those aren't real. Yeah, well, why don't you try to pick them? He'll go pick them up one hand. I mean, just stuff he and anyway, and one of the, what I'm getting to is, he'll go up and says, oh, I would love to be a weight. I would love to be able to lift those weights. How long would it take me to be able to do that? He's got this mop he's pushing around. His mop weighs 80 pounds.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, it's like he's pushing around. And he'll say, how long would it take me to learn to lift that much weight? No, even like never. Like maybe 2 years you could try, you know. He said, I want to try now. No, you'll hurt yourself. Don't bother doing that. No, I want to try. And they'll kind of try to push me and say, well, here, hold my mop. It's holding it like this, 80-pound mop.
The mop goes.
And they go, they can't even lift this mop with one hand, you know. And he'll walk over, maybe act like he's having trouble or whatever. Next thing you start doing this. And they're like, their jaws drop, you know, how do you do this? He's actually a professional. Sometimes he dresses like he's about an 85-year-old man, does it? Anyway, the point is, they tell him it's going to take you years to develop this. But he's already been training for years. And he can do it. People are going to see what you can do in life. Probably already seeing it, what you're doing by the gospel, by the kingdom. And they want to do it, you're going to have to let them know. It takes development time. You're not going to come in here one day and start living by faith. It's a process.
Yes.
Hope it didn't take too long to grab a trail, just like those reviews. It's faith to faith. In 2 Corinthians 3:18, Paul's talking about the glory. He says, we go from glory to glory. See, as you go from faith to faith and your focus are running toward the glory, you can then start increasing in the glory you carry, the anointing you carry, the love you carry. And that's our assignment. The point is, it's not just to try to get by as a Christian. It's not just to try to be a nice person. It's to manifest supernatural capacity in your life.
Amen.
Heal the sick. Cleanse the leper. Open the eyes of the blind. Cast out devils. Raise the dead. That's your assignment.
Yes.
And you know what? It's not hard. It's not hard. See, there's some things I could never do. Some things natural I could never do. I mean, if God came on me, I could certainly light you out, ran a chariot. But I'll never in the natural be able to dunk a basketball on a full-size goal. I couldn't when I was young. I couldn't touch a rim. I'm not going to dunk a basketball. Do you follow me?
Yeah.
I see people that are artistic. Some of you may be like that. I've got my oldest daughter, since she was young, could outdraw me. I mean, she won a lot of competitions doing art and stuff, just can draw something just perfectly. If you ask me to draw a hand, it looked like a third grader did it. I could spend all day on it, still look like a third grader did it. I don't have the ability to convert what I'm saying without the T-squares and triangles and a ruler into something you could recognize. And I'll never be able to unless God came on me. You follow me? There's things I can never do. There's things you are not equipped to do. You follow me? But other stuff you've developed skills in that other people would do if they just practiced. My grandmother, my dad's mother, who went on to heaven when she was almost 95. And up until her death, she crocheted nonstop. Fine thread crochet, a little thread. And made massive bed shams and tablecloths. Shipped them all around. People around the world were asking for her stuff. She made them, ship them around the world. Just charged them for the thread. And we got some of it at home. And people going, how do you do that? Especially in her 90s. And she just flying. No, look, just flying. And you think, I could never do it. Yeah, you could. If you practice for the 50 years or whatever, 70 years she crocheted, you could do it. But you're not going to get a couple, you know, get a crochet, it'll take off of doing it. You guys crochet? It's not hard. Crocheting's not hard. Easier than knitting. But to do it fast and accurate takes practice. Typing, that's a great example. Typing. Everybody here can type. No, listen, I can type. I maxed out in high school in typing class at like 19 words a minute with 5 errors. I can do it. And there were people in class, only old man was doing 60 words a minute.
I did 80.
You did 80 on a manual?
Yep.
Yeah.
There was a lady, they used selective typewriters for typing championships, was typing like 250 words a minute.
Yeah. My granddaughter.
Practice.
Yeah.
Just practice. Now there's some skill there, ability as well. You follow me? I don't think I could ever type 200 words. I don't know if I could ever type 60. Probably could if you practice enough.
Okay, now
practice. You can do stuff. There's some things impossible, some things just take practice. What we do in the kingdom, anybody can do. Just take practice. Faith to faith, glory to glory. How can you say that? Because Jesus said it. The works that I do, can you do also? That's all inclusive. You can do it also. And greater works than you do because I go to the Father. We can do what God did through Jesus. Practice. Practice. Now practicing for us is running toward the glory. Doing the things of the kingdom that will build your faith. Practicing releasing your faith. I'm stuck on the word practice for just a minute. I'm trying to remember who it was said it. Who was it said that? It was some great musician. And I normally would know, but I'm drawing a blank on it right now. Some really great musician. I think he was a violinist. But he said, I practice every day. He's already great. I practice every day. He said, if I don't practice for a day, I can tell it. He said, if I don't practice for a week, my wife can tell it. I don't practice for a month, everybody can tell it. I don't know how true that was and how accurate the quote was, but you get the... You're not going to... I don't care how much you learn about the kingdom, how much you learn about the anointing and the word and the glory. I don't care how much you learn until you practice it, you will never excel in it. Until you find somebody to pray for, lay hands on, you're not going to excel in it. Follow me on this. Until you're speaking what God has promised and standing, you're not going to excel in it. The just shall live by faith, the people of the glory. That's talking about faith released, not faith developed. A lot of people in church have developed faith, but they never step out and use the faith. They know about healing, but they never really apply it. Oh, they may say, well, I believe I'm healed. But they never stand. They never speak. The authority should be in them. People know about prosperity, but they never sow a radical seed. Never stand and say, I believe I receive. They're still relying on the natural system. You got to practice living out of the kingdom to excel in the kingdom.
Yes.
See, I got on this word practice, and here we are. When I teach about living by faith, I teach 5 steps to living by faith. Do you remember what they are? Of course you do. Revelation, meditation, application, manifestation, restoration. We talk about step three, which is application. Application has three steps of its own. Remember what the three steps are? What are they, Casey?
Speak, act, and stand.
See, I know you know. Speak, act, and stand. You speak the word. You act on the word, and you stand until your manifestation, until step four. Speak, act, and stand. Let me give you another word for step three. Practice.
Practice.
Doing it. Putting it into practice. See, revelation, you get an awareness of what God's promised. Meditation, you're building faith. You're comprehending what God's promised. You're meditating it. You're mulling it over until faith being developed. Then what it is the pressure, the paint can inside you being pressurized. But until you speak, which is pressing the button, spray button on top, nothing's getting out. That's the practice. You've got to put it into practice. What if it doesn't work? Well, it doesn't work for doctors all the time either. That's why they call it practicing medicine. So we practice till they get it right. But keep making an effort. I shared this story the other day, I think when I was in Tennessee. I read this testimony years ago, and I don't remember, it was a name you'd recognize. Somebody became very famous, very wealthy. But he started out when he was young, needing a job, and nobody would hire him because he didn't have experience. Finally, he applied for a job as a crane operator. They said, "Do you have experience?" "Yes." "Yeah, I got experience." So he put it behind a crane, he wrecked it. He never bowed by that crane. He lied. He wrecked it. They fired him. He went down to another company, set up a crane operator. "Do you have experience?" "Yeah." They put him behind a control of a crane. He wrecked it. But he made it a little longer this time. They fired him. He went on the street or however far. Got a job as a crane operator again. "Do you have experience?" "Yes." This time he could run it. He only crashed two of them in the process. Later became very wealthy and famous. I don't remember the name of the person it was. You may crash and burn with your faith a few times.
Yeah.
But do something with it. Put it into practice. You're developing experience. Mm-hmm. Without experience, your faith's not going to grow to its fullness. From faith to faith implies practice. That you're doing it, and guess what? You get better at it every single time.
Yes.
In the world, they have what they call an 80% rule. How many know about the 80% rule?
80-20.
Huh?
80-20.
80-20. Well, this is just 80 on this one. I don't know about 80-20, too. The rule is if you're building something, if you build one and say it takes you so long, the next one you build will only take 80% as much. So let's say it took you, 100 minutes to build the first one. Second one will take you 80 minutes. But it's every time you double. So by the time you do one, two, you're at 80 minutes. Three, when you get to four, the fourth one will only take you 64 minutes. Every time you double. Next time will be the eighth one you build. It'll be 8 times 64, about 50. 50 minutes. So it's every time you do more, you get better and better at it.
Yes.
You find efficiencies, you find shortcuts, you just get more skilled at it, and it applies to the kingdom. The more you do it, the better you get. Here's an example. How many try to watch what you speak, what comes out of your mouth? How many, when you first started, found it really difficult? Oh, I did it again. But the more you practice, what happened? It got easier.
Yes.
You got quicker catching it, quicker casting it out, quicker repenting for the things you did or whatever, Even controlling what you think.
Yes.
Yes.
It was hard at first.
Yes.
How do you do that? This seems impossible. But the more you practice it,
yes,
the more adept you get at it. Faith to faith, practice, practice, practice. And you get really skilled. Can I take this a step further?
Yeah.
We're kind of getting deep into some stuff here. Mm-hmm. But there's a practice in sports. Oh, I'm trying to, somebody's going to know the name of it. Where you imagine yourself in different sports scenarios. A friend of mine did it with tennis. And he would play tennis in his head. What do you do if the ball's coming this way? And he practiced in his head. So when he got on the court, he'd already practiced in his mind, and it became more automatic.
Yeah.
You might know the name of that?
Sounds like visualization.
It's a visualization, yes. It's something to do with that. But any activity, like a golf swing, you can practice in your head, your golf swing, how you hold your head, how you swing club over and over again in your head. And when you get out there, it become more automatic. However, until you really hit a ball, you don't know what it's going to do. Practice, practice, practice. In the same way, you can use your imagination to imagine what you're going to be doing in different spiritual situations. Instead of thinking you're going to play basketball for, you know, some pro team, use your imagination to imagine what you're going to do if you come across a blind person. Sick person, lame person. And if you think about it, you've already gone through it in your mind. When you get out there, you can do it. Now, I'm not saying get caught up in all these imaginations, but at least use it for something for the kingdom. I often, especially if I'm doing a big message, I'll preach the message in my head before I ever step behind the pulpit. And I may minister in my head several times before I ever step behind the pulpit. Amen. And what happens then when you get behind the pulpit, you've already gone through the next step. You've already know where you want to go, where you want to take the message. You can move into it. It's really an application of meditation. And we can use our imagination. We can use our thought processes. We can use our life to practice living out of the kingdom. Is this getting too deep for you this morning?
No.
And until we do, we're not all in. As long as this is just kind of a hobby, you know, we kind of, well, I think maybe I'll leave God for something today. And you're not trying to live out of this, we will only manifest pieces of the glory. On and on. Amen. Let's read verse 17 again. For therein, in the gospel, is the righteousness of God revealed. Again, they had the Old Testament. So when Paul's talking about the gospel, he didn't have his own writings to refer back to. Now he's talking about the message of the cross, the gospel, but all of that relies on the Old Testament. Everything we believe out of the New Testament was already recorded in the Old in mystery fashion. Paul said in Colossians 1:27, I'm going to reveal to you a mystery hidden from ages and generations, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. It was already in here. The glory is all through the Old Testament. How do you know? I just read Habakkuk. It's in the Old Testament. First will be built glory. Am I losing you? Y'all look a little bit shell-shocked. When Paul's talking about the word he relies on, he's talking about the Old Testament. And the power was always in there.
Yes.
He says, for therein in the gospel is the righteousness of God revealed, faith to faith. The message of righteousness was always in this book. But it was hidden in mystery form. And God gave Paul revelation of it out of the Old Testament to reveal to us in the New.
Yeah.
But he refers back to as it is written repeatedly, saying it's right out of the Old.
It's right there.
And so, This book has always contained the message of righteousness, the message of salvation, the message of the cross, the message of the glory. It's always been in here. Those people couldn't see it.
Yeah.
Paul came to reveal it, but people still can't see it. Why? Because traditions have made void the Word of God. They've listened to spiritual religion, religious spirits, instead of revelatory. I've got information from the Holy Spirit. They decided to live by ritual or routine versus relationship, and the book has remained sealed. It's only open to those that will learn to know God, spend time with the Holy Spirit, and learn. Spend time with the book saying, God, show it to me. You should, every time you get in the book, you should be saying, God, reveal this word to me. Show me what it means. Show me how it applies to my life. How can I live out of this book? Ask Him. I feel like I beat you up or something. I look like his hand down.
What a processing.
It's not hard. That's what I was getting at a while ago. Crocheting is not hard. My mom taught all us to crochet when we were little kids. We could crochet. We could do a chain stitch. Had difficulty tying them together and making something. We could do chain stitches. Still can. It's not hard. It just takes knowledge and practice.
Yeah.
The kingdom, living out of the kingdom, is not hard. There's nothing here anybody can't do. We can all do it. Knowledge and practice. But you got to have a heart to do it.
Right. Yeah.
I'm trying to give you a couple examples. I may be in some of them, maybe in all of them. About 35 years ago or so, they had an ad in the paper. I was living in Lexington. About a Scrabble tournament, city Scrabble tournament, put on by the Scrabble company. But I always liked to play Scrabble. I grew up playing Scrabble. I want to enter. I came in second in the city, and I would have won except the girl I played was a Scrabble professional, and she got the QXJNZ. Hard to win against those four letters, 2 10-pointers, 2 8-pointers, and she was good. But I'm right there with her until she got those final letters. Came in second, and they said, you're really good at this. You need to take this up and join our clubs, you know. And I ended up buying a Scrabble dictionary, didn't know it existed. It's about that thick, all these words they've made up put in there. And so you need to do this, you need to apply yourself. You could do really good. And I thought, and in fact, they were calling me afterwards. And I thought, I can get really good at Scrabble. Or I can get really good at the Word of God. Mm-hmm. Where do I want to apply myself? This is just one example. You follow me? Mm-hmm. I can be reading the Scriptures all day. I can be reading the Scrabble dictionary.
Yeah.
One has eternal rewards. One doesn't produce anything.
Wow.
Except if, you know, maybe some ribbons or something. There are other things. I've been told you could have done this. I thought, well, I can read the Word, or I can study that. I'm going with the eternal. Do you follow me? Mm-hmm. We all have the same thing. Decisions that are given to us that could consume all of your time.
Yes.
You could be the best cook around, the best, you know, crocheter around. You could be the best whatever. But you can choose what you think is really valuable to spend your time on.
Martha and Mary.
Yeah, Martha and Mary somewhat, yeah. And there's nothing wrong with doing those other things. But you only have so many hours in a day. Which one do you want to learn to excel in? God's calling us to excel in the kingdom. Peggy, your gardening efforts, because when I said that, I thought of you. Your gardening efforts are kingdom. You follow me?
Yeah.
You're revelating out there.
Oh, yeah. I see.
You're praying out there.
It's from Him.
In other words, some things you can do and not be a distraction. Other things you're just going to... You have to remember all this stuff and it's going to take all your study time.
No, it's
and you get to choose which one you want to call it. You can be really good at something the world admires. You can be really good at something God is after. Amen. Now, whatever your profession is, become the best. Did you follow me? If you're an electrician, please learn the codes. Keep up. If you're a mechanic, learn the new vehicles. Become the best at what you do, which takes time. But as far as the sort of discretionary time, this opportunity to press in the kingdom. I hope I haven't made this too confusing or difficult this morning.
You did.
We're going from faith to faith, which takes us from glory to glory. It suggests that you'll live by faith. That's what we're to run toward in these end times. You'll live by faith. Which means you're examining your life. Think, what am I living out of the natural and what am I living by faith? And what can I do to transition?
Amen.
Start with your health. Transition to the kingdom. Not that you can't go to the doctors. I'm going to the dentist this week. I went to the eye doctor and a foot doctor last week. Nothing wrong with doctors. But once you find the report, try to get your faith involved in attacking whatever's going on. You know, Karen's been working with her kidneys for some time, and they gave her medications. She just stopped taking the medications until she knew it was time.
Amen.
Until doctor took over, it was time. Don't just let your faith work alongside what's going on in the natural. And there'll come a time you can transition to the kingdom. For example, some of you, including myself, I wear a contact, may be nearsighted. It's on my driver's license. I have a code to wear glasses when I drive. Well, I wear one contact. I've been wearing glasses to drive since I was 18. And I've heard people that said, well, I don't believe God heals my eyes, and they take them off and they don't drive. They drive without their glasses. No, don't. I'm out there. I'm on a motorcycle out there. Put your glasses on.
Amen.
Keep them on till you can't see with them.
Wow. Yes.
Keep them on till your vision gets so improved, you know, should it go that direction. And my vision's been improving every year. Put them on until you can see without them. And then get the doctor's approval to take them off to drive. Did you follow me?
Yes.
Yep. And the same thing applies to whatever medical you're looking at. Even financial. I've had preachers, I've heard them preach, been in their services. They should never borrow any money. If you're borrowing money, you're in sin, you know, you're missing God. Well, they might have faith to manifest a new car. Or a car, period. I don't recommend using your faith to believe for a new car and not having one in the meantime that you can't get to work.
Amen.
Go buy a used car. Believe God for the money to pay it off. You follow me? And believe money as you're going, as you keep advancing faith to faith. To buy the next one's debt-free. Borrowing is not a sin. Did it lose you there?
No.
Borrowing is not a sin.
No.
Amen. But you should endeavor to get out of debt and become a source of a positive cash flow that you'll borrow in the future. Amen.
Like His church.
Father, I thank you for your word. Stay on your meds until the doctor takes you off or you get sick from it. Father, I thank you for your word. We declare in this church there are none sick, none in pain. All that are experiencing sins, we declare them healed right now. Robert's healed right now in Jesus' name.
Yes.
There are none in pain, none oppressed, none in fear, none in lack. Oh, thank you, Lord God. We excel out of this kingdom.
Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. There's no strife. I mean, envy, jealousy, or backbiting. You align our schedules to get complete what you have for us to do. We work together without any source of division or competition. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.